help you out any. I did know those two.
For our scriptures, as God has spoken through us through music, let God speak through us through His Word. Now, y'all are privileged because hopefully the mistakes I made were in the 8:30 service. For instance, I said turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and I turned to Romans chapter 9, verse 6, and I proceeded to read those passages of Scripture. And I looked, and everybody had these funny looks on their faces, and I'm thinking, what in the world are all these frowns about? And finally, somebody spoke up and said, you're not reading in Acts. And I looked up there, and sure enough, it was Romans. So I am now in the book of Acts. So if I see any funny looks now, I know it's not because I'm on the wrong scripture. So anyway, as we begin to look at it, we look at Saul's conversion, and we begin at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly light from the heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. And now verse 6, the key word. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. As we think about that this morning, we ask this question, what does God want from us? What does God want from me? As we think about that this morning, I hope that each one of us will take that thought with us this morning. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to share? How do I work and serve Him? Now, we are coming to the end of the church year. The nominating committee, or the equipping team, as we have changed the name to, is beginning to find people to begin in October for the new church year. And as we do that, that's the question that we need to be asking. Does God want me to work in this church? Does He want me to share in this church? Does He want me to be a leader? What does God want me to do? He did say, the harvest is truly plentiful. It is ready for harvest, but the workers are few. And as we think about that concept, we look and think about how many people are in this area that need to know about Jesus Christ. So what does God want me to do? I also think that we need to see that we need to have a genuine consideration this morning on that question. I don't know about you, but sometimes I come to church and I know already what this piece of paper is going to say. I could just take it and pitch it. I don't need it. I already know the order of the service. The only thing that it helps me out with in the order of service is what the songs are, what page to turn to, and what scripture verse I need to turn to. That's sometimes the only thing that I need a bulletin for. But we get into a rut, and we come to worship in a rut sometimes like that, don't we? We just come in and not change what we do. I don't want to be superficial. I want to be genuine when I worship God, don't you? But at the same time, I know that there are times that I will not worship God because I'm afraid I might offend somebody else. If I wanted to raise my hands, I should be able to raise my hands, shouldn't I? If I wanted to say amen, I should say amen without offending someone else or being ashamed of it. But as we think about that, I want to know God is real in my life, don't you? I want to know it. I want to feel it. I want to experience it. So as we look this morning at these scriptures of verse here, especially verse 6, I want us to ask this question. I want us to think about these things. God wants our acknowledgement. He wants us to know. Sometimes we have to say, and teachers especially will have to tap on the board or something and get the kids' attention. Look at me. Yesterday when we were down at the kids' house and the three little ones did something they shouldn't be done, Ben got them all together. And they were all doing the little thing, and they were all excited. And yes, they had sugar in them and all of that too, because Grandpa did that. But Ben says, look at me. Look at me. I want your full attention. And isn't that what God tries to do to us sometimes? Look at me, God says. I want to tell you something. I want to show you something. Look at me. I want you to acknowledge that I'm there. Now, I know when I raised my kids, there were times I talked to them. I might as well have been talking to that wall. I was talking right on through them. They weren't paying a bit of attention to me. Are we that way with God? In our prayer life with God, do we just talk right on through Him as if He's not there? So as we think about acknowledging, Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And as we read that passage of Scripture, the first thing He says is, "Be still." Well, I don't know about you, but my prayer life used to be like this. God, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. I want to thank you for all the blessings you've given me. I want to thank you for this, that, and the other. And oh, by the way, God, can you remember so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so as they're sick? Be with this family. Watch for this family. Amen. And then I went off to doing whatever I did. The Scripture says, be still, doesn't it? Listen sometimes. There's a song out that we're singing downstairs called Pray, and it talks about even if it's just to say your name. We need to sit down and not only talk to God, but we need to acknowledge God, that He's even there. For many years, we see that that's what's been our case. We've not listened to God, and we need to. We find that some people know about God, but yet they won't listen to God. And then the other thing we see is some intentionally ignore Him. I can do it myself. When we acknowledge God, we properly show and give Him respect, and at the same time, we will see that there is confession of sin. We will confess our sins to Him. There will be a confession of salvation. He is there. Paul says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved." So it's not just a heart thing. It's got to be a mouth thing. We have to acknowledge God. We have to confess Him, don't we? And then the third one we see in confession is that of the Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. There are a lot of people that believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people that say Jesus did live. Yes, we'll give you that. And yes, Jesus died on a cross. We'll give you that. But that's as far as it goes. But we have to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have to believe in more than that, don't we? Jesus was God's only Son that died on the cross for our sins. And the only hope that we have is through Jesus Christ. So we need to confess it. But we also see there's admission. We have to admit that we're weak, don't we? We have to admit. Now, in Alcohol Anonymous, I understand the very first thing that a person has to do is to admit they have a problem. We have to admit that we're not perfect. We have to admit we have a problem. It's called sin, and we must confess it. We are weak. We are inability to help ourselves, aren't we? We can't do it all ourselves. As we look at that, we try to do things ourselves, and then when we can't do it, then when we made a mess out of it, then we come back to God and say, "Oh, by the way, I really couldn't do it." Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So why do we try to do it before that when Jesus makes that statement, "Without me, you can do nothing"? And then Paul turns around and says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we can't do it without Him, can we? And then we see the commission. We will commit our ways. Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways submit Him, and He will make your path straight." Do we follow what Jesus allows to me? Now, we all have our GPSs. We put them in the cars. You see them all the time as they're passing you. And they use those to get anywhere and everywhere, don't you? In the older days, we used maps, and some of us still use those maps because sometimes they're probably better than the GPS. But we use those for directions. But God says, "I have given you what? I have given you the directions. Here are the directions. Follow these directions. We will commit our lives as Paul did. For me to live is Christ." Do people see Christ within us? Not because we wear something around our neck or on our collar or a bumper sticker on a car? Can people tell if they walked in a supermarket and saw me, would they know that I was a Christian? Within a couple of minutes after a conversation, would they know that I was a Christian? That I was like Christ? Would they know that? This is what he's saying. We have to be able to see that. We will commit to Jesus. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." Is that what we're seeking each day? God's will to be done in our lives? The second thing we see is God wants our allegiance. Now, we stand up in school and we all have learned. We may not have understood what we did, but as we looked over, we would stand and salute to the flag and we would say, "I pledge allegiance," wouldn't we? In Vacation Bible School, we had allegiance to three things. We had it to the American flag, to the Christian flag, and we pledged allegiance to the Bible. Do we have an allegiance to God? Is that our allegiance? Do we do as Moses did? "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." Remember, Moses told the people, "You have to decide." And then in Joshua, he challenged his people and he said, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." Joshua said, there's not a variety choice, but there is two choices. Choose you this day who you will choose. Elijah, there were many choices. And he says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If it is the Lord, follow him. But if you're going to follow him to the allegiance." And then Jesus commanded us, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciples." Our allegiance is to Christ. If it is, then we need to give it to him. We see people giving allegiance to all kinds of things. We see it to the parties, all the elections and all the hip law. People will flood down to these offices to help out, to volunteer, to do anything they can do to help their candidate win, won't they? They will put in so many hours. And how about all these people that go down into voting booths and volunteer every year when they vote? We see clubs and organizations of people are so committed to them. And they're doing good things, don't get me wrong. But is that the commitment? Is that the allegiance that we need to put to? We see people that put it in schools and all kinds of community and social activities and sports and all of this other stuff. Is that the allegiance that God is looking for? Or is he saying, "I want the allegiance put to me. I should be number one"? Is God first? And that's what we're looking at this morning. Is he first? But God wants to give us, and he wants us to have that allegiance. But at the same time, God doesn't need us, does he? He doesn't need us. God breathed the earth. God breathed the animals, didn't he? He just spoke and said, what? Let there be. God wants us to have that allegiance, but he doesn't need us, does he? Even in Isaiah, what? Even the bones could rise up and worship God, couldn't they? He doesn't need us, but he wants us. And we should be willing to give to him. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Where does your allegiance lie today? Now, my allegiance led to many occasions between my mom and my dad. If I go ask my mother if I could do something and she said yes, then I would hurry up and have a quick allegiance with my mom and say, "Dad, mom said it was okay for me to do so-and-so if it was okay with you." And that's not what she said, was it? But you see the allegiance this has brought? Where is our allegiance to today? There are two. Which two will you waver, God or Satan? And then last, God wants our availability. He doesn't need us at all. He just wants us to be available. Are we available? When God calls a missionary, I heard missionary stories. I always thought that if you were a missionary, you had to go to some dark, deep Amazon place. You had to live in a dirt hut, house, and every time it rained, it would leak all in it. There'd be all kinds of bugs and everything else in it, and all of that kind of stuff. And that's the only way you could be a missionary, right? And I didn't want to be that. So I never pursued that. I never followed up on it. But God didn't say, I'm going to make you go there. He says, would you be willing to go there? Are you available to be there? Are you available to do what I ask you to do? That doesn't mean you're going to do it. I'm available for God to let me sing. I hope He don't. And I know there's a few in the choir that probably say the same thing. That's why I'm not back there. But I love music, and I love to hear it. I just can't sing it the way it needs to be sung. But you know, God has made others that can. And we can learn to do what? Use everybody's talents. To be honest with you, Jimmy did the prelude this morning, and I just thank Jimmy that he let me have a ear to hear your conversation to God. And that was what I felt this morning, his conversation to God, and I got to hear his conversation. Can I ever do that? No, but he could do it for me. And that's what we look at, being available to do whatever is done. We need to see that in Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but to rather think of yourself with sober judgment. The Lord wants to use us, but we cannot be stuck on ourselves, can we? Me, me, me. We already see that society today. What is it for me? He wants to use us. Paul said that we need to be a willing and obedient. And Paul was, wasn't he? He was very committed to what? Killing and having papers to have people, Christians, arrested when God met him. When Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, it changed his life tremendously. And when it changed his life, Paul dedicated everything, his allegiance and everything, and he was available to preach God's word. And as we look into the old New Testament, we see that what? Over half of the New Testament was written by someone that was arresting Christians, that converted Christianity. And Paul became available to serve. What does God want from me this morning as we ask that question? He wants us to acknowledge Him, doesn't He? To know that He is real. To know that He is there. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you put Him first in everything that you do? Do you have more casual Christianity and more superficial Christianity than you do of the natural, the norm as it should be? Paul asked that question with that bright light shining down. Lord, what will you have me to do? Think about it. Ask that question this week. Ask it this morning. Ask it right now. Lord, what do you want me to do? And remember, be still and wait upon the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this opportunity to come and to worship you and to lift up our voices, to lift up the song, to hear your word, to put a challenge to us to serve you this morning, Father. We pray that we will leave here ready to trust in you, ready to stand for you, to have acknowledged you, to have allegiance with you, and to be available to serve you in any way that we can. For it's in Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, the hymn of invitation is number 597, Here Am I, Send Me. And as we've talked about it, what would you have me to do? This is the same question. But this is also a prayer that you'll be singing this morning as you sing that song. You're singing, Lord, here am I, send me. Doesn't matter where, but send me. And so we give an invitation this morning for those that need to make decisions in your life. If God is calling you to accept Him as Lord and Savior, we invite you to